Hello. My name is Hardy White, and I'm here to speak with you. And I don't know if that's very obvious. I wanted to clear that up just so you'd know there was no emergency. There isn't an emergency. That's not why I'm here. That's why I wanted to say that right off the bat, that I'm here to speak to you, not about an emergency, and also I do not have a message from your dead grandmother. A lot of times people might go on the radio and say I'm here because I received a message from a dead relative of someone. I don't know how to find them. But if I go on the radio and I say the message, then maybe they'll, and the message goes like this, don't forget to pay the power bill. I don't know who that message was for. I heard it in my head as I was trying to fall asleep last night. And I said, what do you mean, spirit? Who is that for? Is that for me? Is that for others? Who are you? Are you someone's grandparent? And then there was silence. And that's how you know it's the spirit world, because they're busy. They have other things to do. They're busy doing things. And so they can't speak to you for very long. I'm real busy. I'm just going to send telegrams. I can't chat. There's no chatting once you're gone. That's why radio is so good for that, because if for those of us who are not dead yet, what a wonderful way to speak to people. And I said that right off the top of the show. That's what I wanted to do. I knew when I was very young and I first heard radio, I was listening to the radio and I heard someone say, emergency, an emergency, run. There isn't now. That's what I heard when I was young. There isn't. They have a whole system to let you know what's the difference between a play yelling that and what is really. See, if I was on the radio and I was explaining to you about my Randolph Mantooth fan club, and you'd say, Randolph Mantooth, who is he? And I said, well, he was in a show called Emergency, like that. So what, is everything okay? I go, it's context. So I'm letting you know that I'm merely speaking, that there's no substance. Someone will come on and tell you if there's something that you need to know. Aliens are attacking or something like that. It would be in a different, not in my voice. It would be in the voice of somebody with gravitas. That means, gravitas means from the grave or ghostly. Like I heard, like said, pay the power bill. They'd say, no, this is just an impression. I'm not, this isn't the real message. They would come on and say, you, aliens are landing, like that. And then you'd know it was official. Say, that ghostly voice can only mean one thing. It's a real invasion. But right now, I was doing acting. And I learned that. I took theater lessons. I'm not going to lie to you. See, this fella sounds like he just got on the radio, maybe a country fella, and he's on the on one of those radio stations. Let's say it's North Florida near the coast, and they don't have enough people to keep the radio station open even, so they need people to come on and do basically trade things on the radio, have a penny pincher like that, and make broker a lot of times what is live chicken sales. So someone say, we'll call up the station. I'll say, hello, Hardy White. And they'll say, yes, I got five roosters, like that. I don't know what their accent is. I go, well, rooster, where are you from? But I'm selling $5 a piece. Hard to give away a rooster. I say, no one's going to buy your rooster for $5, but whatever. But I'll go on and say it, and then I go on and say it on the radio, and then if someone's interested, say, I would like to buy that rooster. I'd have no experience with poultry. I go, okay, you're his market. You're his target audience. And then I get them together. I broker that. That's a sort of radio. That's the kind of fella you sound like, Hardy. Come on, now you're on this radio. Or you studied theater, like that. You learned to say it in different ways. I studied theater. I might be from, and I am from Florida, but for years and years, I studied I always put the word classical in there so you know, to make it sound even more experienced. Classical theater at Burt Reynolds Deering Theater in Jupiter, Florida. Jupiter. I thought for a minute I was going to say, you and Sun Ra. I go, Sun Ra's not from Jupiter. He's from like Mississippi or something, or Alabama. He's from the deep south. But I'm not from Jupiter. That's the thing. Also, neither the planet nor the in Florida. And I don't even know what county it is, Volusia or something. I don't think that's right. So study at the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. And I remember I went in there for lessons, and there was Charles Nelson Reilly. And Charles Nelson Reilly looked at me and he said, you are never going to be an actor. And I said, what? How can you tell? And he said, I don't know. I heard a ghostly voice just say that in my head. And I said, maybe it was your own lack of confidence. I don't know that it was. Or let me say, if it was one of my relatives, they're very negative. So let's just get a fresh start. And here's another funny thing. When I walked in there, I said, he said that to me, and I went like that or something. And then he started doing that. And if you look at he did not do that before that. If you look at the video footage. Anyway. So I went there for acting lessons. And I would go, you go in there, and it'd be Charles Nelson Reilly and Burt Reynolds and Max Shambubadin and Les Lehavich. So many came out of there. Tim Smithley. Marvin Apok. Ruth Goldman. Tammy Zippus, all of those, so successful, so huge, huge talents. And one of the great things is they would say, listen, here's how we're going to exchange. This is how you're going to learn theater. We have this dinner theater. We don't want to pay anybody to do anything. So we're going to let you write and produce and star in these plays for these people that come and eat shrimp. I said, okay. So first thing I did, I said, I can't write any play. I'm going to steal one that's in public domain. And that's, I would do that a lot. Or just say, I don't know if anybody's, who's seen Time in the Conways? So we would do stuff like that. I said, we'll make it. We'll just change the when it is. Or we'll call it Tim in the Conways. That was a big thing. And we'll just do it super, everybody's shuffling along or on their knees. And you'd be surprised, the older folks, this is the best thing to do. If you can time it at the old dinner theater, this old dinner theater trick, they dip the shrimp into the cocktail sauce and they put it in their mouth. And just as you're putting it in their mouth, that's when you say the joke. You go like, you know, I don't know what the punchline will be. Like, you know, weenie? What kind of weenie? Or something like that. And then the shrimp, you can see them pop, 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 popping out of all the mouths all around the theater. That's one of many things that we learn there that you learn in theatrics. And to lie was another thing I was told. I was told this by Uta Hagen, who was also, I've also studied theater in New York with Uta Hagen. And you can hear it a lot of my diction. And she would say to me, you know, why are you still here? And I go, well, I want to, you know, because I want to be an actor. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were the delivery person. I go, no. She goes, because I tipped you. I go, well, you didn't tip me, but you tipped the delivery person. And they left. And they go, and she said, well, you look very similar. And I go, okay, all right. We don't, but I don't expect you to know who I am. It's funny, you know who I am when it's checky-poo time and I'm writing a check. And I don't know why that, if you're Uta Hagen, why I'm making him out to someone else's name. Mary Schmeck. Who's Mary Schmeck? And Uta would go, oh, that's just a name. That's my secretary or something. So regardless, whether I studied with Mary Schmeck or Uta Hagen, I still studied. And I still got better. And a lot of people said, you know, the next step for you from theater, from classical theater and performance, before because I performed before so many meals. And then, what's the next step? Is it television? And I don't know. It's not that it's beneath me. It's not for me, though. Because I've had friends that were on television, but they had done something or opening a business. And no, it's not for me. And they said, film? I go, film? What kind of film? Because it's a group project film. I mean, I'm not an auteur. No one's going to ask me. I don't think so. How do I get creative control? Even look at somebody like David Lynch. Somebody as David Lynch. He even had challenges on film. Say, my vision won't be realized because of somebody in a suit. Sometimes it's not. I say that because sometimes it's not a human. Because like from the Kafka story, sometimes it's a monkey you've brought back, and then they're calling the shots, and you say, "Oh, Kafka suited monkey." Let me run this past you, and they go, "Oh, I like that. Can we get a joke about picking your nose?" They go, it's an art film. So I don't want to do that. I don't even run into that. And there's hundreds of people. If you do it right, there's hundreds of people involved. And I know there isn't in some smaller films and pornography, but there is in, if you want to do a big thing, like crowd scene or something, you got to have a crowd or computers. Do you know this? That if you want a crowd scene, this is going to blow your mind. If you want a crowd scene with like 100 people in it and you want that done in CGI, you have to hire 200 animators. And I know, right? Say, well, let's just hire 100 animators and have them just stand there. That's what we did. And they could be drawing while they're doing it. It's a crowd scene. We don't know what the crowds are doing. Look down at your phone. You can doodle. But when I was told by someone, I went in for career counseling. I know a lot of souls. It's not just my love of humanity. I think it's, life has been, it's been such a challenge for me that I understand now everybody, every human. I go, oh, bless you. Now I get it. If I was, let's say, as a god that had been sent down to earth, it was so, it didn't take but decades. And I thought, I get it now. I'm so sorry. I will be gentler and kinder and more understanding. And I will make sad, weepy, wet eyes at everyone because I understand the human condition. Also, I feel completely helpless and victimized by it. So along with that comes some bitterness and anger. I'll fight the sky with you. You want to do that? Fight the sky together. And that's why I'm here. Because I say, as the most ordinary person, I believe that maybe I want to communicate with people direct from my heart. How do I do it, career counselor? And by this time, they were trying to shush me repeatedly, but I got all that out. And they said, I was just going to say, even before you started your little rant, I was going to say radio. I remember hearing it as a child. I remember hearing that emergency, somebody screaming emergency. And I thought, I want to be that voice. I also thought that in church. I heard the clergy chiding everyone. I thought, I want to be that. I want to be that person telling you that you're not good enough. No, I'm kidding. I want to be that person in reverse and telling you maybe that you're fantastic. I had no idea what you were going through, so I had all these unnatural expectations. But now that I have been a person for a good long time, I don't know who I'm apologizing for, but I am so sorry because I do understand. And that's why I'm not using my time on the radio to chide or even to recommend. You'll notice that. You'll say, Hardy, if you were a celebrity from the 1970s, and let's say you were on my favorite sitcom, What was your favorite sitcom? House full of car mats. I don't remember that one. I know. But on House Full of Car Mats, there's a fella named Matt. That was the joke, because everything's a pun. And you played Matt, and then you disappeared, and now you're back, and I see you're on, I'm watching reruns, and you're on, in between, on an ad saying, take that mortgage and reverse it. But I'm not. See, I wouldn't do that. I'm not the fella from the TV show. A lot of people confuse me. There's so many Hardy Whites. I have been in some very comical situations where people say, are you the Hardy White from television? No. Are you the Hardy White from, are you the recording artist? No. Are you the economist Hardy White? No. Do you have a line of jewelry? All these are great. Are you bread? Do I look like bread? I mean, without the A. I'm saying, well, you know, no, no, I'm me, but I think the name is throwing you. This will happen a lot of times with people named John. I'll say, oh, I'll talk about my friend John. They go, John? John Wilcox? I go, no. And then they stand, then they go on and on. 500, 600, 1,000 names. I go, none of those. No, you haven't even guessed it yet. There's so many surnames that you don't wonder. And patronyms, matronyms, matronyms, matronyms. Avunconyms, where you're named after your uncle. Everyone's named after their uncle. Bob's your uncle would be a surname in that world. Bob be everybody's uncle. Everybody's Uncle Bob. And Uncle Bob, Bob's your uncle, would be like, that'd be the equivalent of Icelandic name. Like Nordson, Norbertson. Norbert, Norbertson, is that right? Spire, Sklar, Sklarson. I don't know if I'm making these up or I was watching a video the other day. I'm sorry to take a video and then just reduce it to not just to audio, but to a voice describing it. It's like a commentary on a CD or a DVD, but you can't see the movie. And it's just a voice going, mm-hmm, oh, right, I remember that's the time I forgot to wear pants. I was watching a video on the internet, and there was a child, and he was on Oprah. And he was a redheaded freckle boy, and he said that he was a reincarnated Black Civil War soldier. And he could remember this because he remembered being shot in the hand and then dying in a field hospital, but couldn't remember the names of any of these things, like hand. And she said, that's amazing. Now, I didn't make it to the end of the video, so I don't really, I don't know what the end was, whether he says, just kidding, or how about that, or maybe he reveals where, but I remember where I buried the gold. I don't know about any of this. And, Oprah said, look under your seat, there's a musket. Everybody gets a musket. He said, oh, I remember what he said. He said, I was holding a rifle with some kind of, like a sword on the end. I go, that's a bayonet. Oh, so I don't know whether a child. And then he was not young, super young. He looked like old enough to be a Boy Scout, older than a Weeblo. That's how I judge young male age. I don't know if you know how old I am. I don't even know how to use this microphone. I went up to WFMU one time, and I was going to be on the air. It was the marathon, and I was co-hosting. And I sat down, and a fella said, this is how you use a microphone. And he was adjusting it and everything. He told me how to use a microphone. And I'm not arrogant. I'm not saying, oh, I know how to use it. I just think that's very sweet. That's nice. I mean, if I was having somebody over, let's say I was having Chuck Berry, and I say, Chuck, here's the stage. Here it is. And this is how you plug the guitar into the amp. I mean, there's no reason not to say it. Because you assuming people know, I'm not comparing myself to Chuck Berry. Oh my gosh, I'm the radio equivalent of the Mark Fleming trio at the Ramada. Who are they? Oh, they're that band that your grandpa liked to go see because they did Light a Rose. Oh, that's Danny and the Toonsmen. Are you the radio equivalent of Danny and the Toonsmen? No, because they're real. I'm trying to make up a fictional band. I'm as well known as fictional characters that have not been invented yet. I love that. I don't want to, who can we really know? Say that person's well known. What does that mean? Can we really be known? Yeah, everybody knows their name. All right, and what they do. Fair enough. And when they show up, they recognize them and they give them a good seat at the restaurant. I'm walking away now, discouraged. Is that what you want? Did you want me to feel less about myself? Because that's what just happened. Now you make me feel, who did that to me? Me. Did you see it? Did you witness it? Did you witness this crime I committed against myself of putting myself down? I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? I'm with me all the time. I got to go home with me. I imagine that when I go to parties and someone's being self-deprecating. I say, gosh, they got to leave. It's not like they're not going to leave with that person who's putting them down. Now they got to ride. What a long ride home that's going to be. I don't like the way that you spoke about me at the party, they say to themselves. Well, that's never me. I get in the car and I go, I say to myself, did people like us? And then I say, I don't care. Do you care? I don't care. I hope they did. It's out of my control now. Was anything ever in my control? So what I do is I've got a handful of rules. Don't spit on people. If you catch yourself talking about yourself too much, take a little break and ask them what records they like. What's another thing I do? Offer to get people things. Not like for a discount. Say, I can get your radio cheap. Not like that. But I mean, I say, I'm going to the bathroom. Do you need anything? And they'll go, from in there? And I go, I don't know. You know, lotion? But I do. Oh, I'm going in the kitchen. They go, it's catered. There's no reason for you to go in the kitchen. Why are you going in the kitchen? And I go, wow, this is like, are you a cop? You're writing a book? You're writing a book about cops? That's what we used to say when I was a kid. Are you a cop? What kind of cop book are you writing, officer? Officer Tell-All? Is that what you're doing? I can't remember. There was a lot of authors back in the day. So if they were going to write a biography about you, you'd go, oh, Lord, this is no good. Yeah, Miss So-and-so, Kitty, somebody is after you. She's going to write a book about your life. I go, oh, great. And she's interviewing all your old friends. None of your new ones, though. Okay. Oh, good. And then they put that book out. I would like to read about the life of some uninteresting people that haven't done anything. And we'd feel better. I mean, if it'd be in a flattering portrait. I was at a book sale one time. There was a bookstore that was going out of business. That's no fun. But they were all the last remains of their books, the books that absolutely would not sell at any price, were being put on sale. And I don't remember whether you'd like, and I think maybe you bought them by the pound even now. I'm thinking they weighed them. And we were browsing, and I found a self-published vanity autobiography by somebody's meemaw. And it was just a Kentucky lady's life growing up. You know, say, when I was coming up, they all call me String Bean because I was so skinny and all that kind of stuff like that. And I remember somebody else just had chickens. We got out one time and we'd chase them around. All things like that. I mean, my grandfather used to smoke a pipe, and one time I put soap in it. I thought it was a bubble pipe. One story after another like that. Not connected necessarily with anything, and some of them didn't go anywhere. It was real interesting. And I loved it. I felt like I'm getting some insight to a life that's being almost, I'm being deprived of access. And I guess I could go on online and find a lot of that, but I don't know. There's something about someone taking the time to put it on a book like that, to type it up and then send it out, have it printed out. And then I guess it got distributed because it's a local thing. I think it was a Kentucky thing, right? So she's from around here. Somebody's yelling, that's my Meemaw's book. What was it called? String Bean? I don't remember what. They called her String Bean. You know what? Probably called a lot of people that. I know. You stole my granny's story. I didn't. Did I? There was another book in there. And it was called Hardy White, Radio Man. And I read about this character that had been on the radio in Florida. And he had done a radio swap meet. And he had also touted various healing aids for the colon. And how his life had taken strange turns, and he had spent his whole career sort of at that level, but fancied himself a professional, though oftentimes he was not employed by a radio station. When he wasn't, he would sit in his home with an old cassette player, the old flat kind, not a stereo or anything, where you speak into the player itself. And he would do that. Looked like someone, looked like Star Trek's Dr. McCoy's thing that he went around and waved over you and he'd say, you're sick. Except this was a tape player. I'm on the radio, said he. I am your friend and companion. I'm going to inform you sometimes. I'm going to entertain you sometimes. I'm going to confuse you sometimes, but I'll be here with you. And I read that book and I said, I'm going to become that person. I'm going to get rid of my old identity, my old self. And I said, I'm putting that away. And who was that old self? I took my old name, Hardy White, and I replaced it with this new name, Hardy White. And I changed my life story, even though it was identical. No, that is that your story, though? Who knows? Who knows? I think you got to take my word for it. Because what you're asking, if you asked a question, is what is the pertinent information? Or what do I want to hear? Because you're going to try to get that out, whatever I give to you. So if I give you something without raisins, and you're going to try to pick the raisins out anyway, I need to put raisins in there so you'll have something to pick out. So your expectations, yes, they have shaped the thing that you receive. I'm sorry. There's no way to be unexpected. There's no way to be unexpected. On the radio or in media. Is there? No. There is not. What are you doing? What are you doing now? I'm wondering because I feel like I'm doing all the work. I mean, I'm not mad or anything. I'm not bitter. But why don't you, well, you can talk. Why don't we talk at the same time? So you're talking, Hardy. I don't want to talk. I know, and maybe you don't want to, but go ahead. Let's talk at the same time. See how it sounds. You saying stuff out loud, and I'm saying stuff out loud. Oh, it's happening at the same time, and talking over one another. Bop, bop, bop. You go, bop, 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 bop. No, you did. Bop, bop, bop. We're interacting now. I can't hear you, but you can hear both of us, but I can only hear me. That's like prayer. You're like God. Isn't that crazy? So I could say, I really want a pony. And you're going, I'll try to get you one, but I don't hear you saying that. So I'm just like, I hope they're hearing me. And then don't send a pony. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. There's ponies. We got ponies. We're lousy with ponies. There's too many of them. We got horses. They roam the streets. They're everywhere. You go in, try to enjoy theater. In most movie theaters, there's these sections where they don't have any seats. They're just stalls like that, and there's horses in there watching movies. It's fine for some of them that are, have a louder sound. Sometimes they'll get spooked, though. But if there's a, if it's a Will Smith movie and there's an explosion, so say, so, "Watch out, I'm coming in," like that. So Tom Cruise spooks them. And then you can get trampled. Just because you went to an action picture instead of like a romance, which they love. Horses are romantic. They just want to sit there with a thing of popcorn strapped to their face. Their beautiful long, it's not all nose. The nose is just at the end. I don't know whether that's all jaw or, I don't like to think about it. But anyway, just, I can't, I just, why the long face? That's what I want to ask about horses to the creator. But they're just gentle souls. Am I a gentle soul? I am hapless and gentle. You have to be if you're hapless. You have to be gentle. So what's this goofball? If you're a clown or something, and you look ridiculous, and it's clear you have no dignity, then really, you're not, you can't, there's so little room for arrogance. The good thing is, if you are arrogant, people assume it's a, it's an act, because they go, well, that person certainly has nothing to be arrogant about, or confidence. And they actually extend that to self-love. Say, look at that crazy person without any dignity. They probably don't, they don't deserve any self-love. I wonder if they love themselves. They probably not. They shouldn't. Well, I want to, let's do something secret. Now, I don't know where you are, but maybe you're just listening to me. Now, I don't know who you are. That's cool, too. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what kind of things you're thinking or whatever. But right now, see, let's pretend I'm on your side. And everything's all right. You're all right right now. There's nothing not to love. I have a little space. Or what'd you do? I don't care. That's fine. What is it? You can never be forgiven of the... Yes, you can. We're in another space now. We're not even really alive. All the stuff you're talking about is the concerns of the world. You right now are in some other room and dimension with Artie. And so you can think whatever you like. You don't have to be tormented for a minute. So much going wrong. Man, I know, I know. I don't feel physically great. I understand that. And then, but on top of that, I'm like, I can't get off my own back. I feel guilty for all this stuff. Well, listen, I don't know if you should or shouldn't. That there's, it's pointless. What I'm saying is that right now we're under fire from pirates on our space adventure. And so you, whatever is getting you, let that go right now. We've gone away. We've left that world. It's like Doctor Who. You got in the TARDIS. It's like, oh, I'm worried about all these things. They happened 10,000 years ago. Now what? Isn't that so liberating? That's why those shows are liberating a bit. You go, oh, really? All these things I feel guilty for, they happened 20 million years ago. All right. All right. Fresh start. Fresh start. Can't get that with, how about, is that, oh. Here's the thing, though. Some of it's still on Facebook. I'm sorry. No, but that's the thing. Not there. It's gone, too. Everything. It isn't there anymore. It's just, we're starting over again. Now, originally, I did not have lessons at the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. That is something I've added since all those people have died. Now I'm going, well, now I can go back and do it. It's not there anymore. And physically, maybe the building exists. It's not called Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. So it's all mine. You can have it now. So I use it and I go there in the past and everything and I have a great time. And nobody bothers me. Nobody says I can't be there. I'll be wherever I want. You can be wherever you want right now. Not you can't physically be in some spots that say employees only. That's more of a suggestion. I don't know if you, I guess you can be arrested for it. Don't test it. You know what? It's so funny. You go, I was, okay, employees only. So I came, and didn't you see the sign? Why are you in here, sir? I go, well, I thought that didn't apply to me. You go, why would you think that? I'll tell you, because there's a sign in the restroom that says employees must wash hands. Does that apply to me? I go, well, no, sir, you can do whatever you want. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's similar with the entry or egress. Space by Hardy White. If I found myself in space, I wouldn't worry about falling, since there is no down. I would look up, but since there is no up, I wouldn't wonder what's up there. There's no side to side, because I don't know where the sides are. Is that straight ahead or is that behind me? Am I drifting? Am I wasting my life? I can't tell. I can't tell whether I'm moving or not. I might be very still, or I might be going incredibly fast. I can't tell whether I'm hot or cold, because this is a thought experiment, and I'm not sure whether I could even survive in space very long without a spacesuit. And if I had a spacesuit, it would be comfortable, and it would be climate-controlled, and I could pee into it. Whereas in space, everything would have frozen off by now, I think, and I would have suffocated. So I'd be a corpse, floating in space. Floating? Well, sitting there? Among space? Falling? Rising up? I don't know. If there's no one there to imagine you're rising up and being better and getting ahead, well, space corpse. This restaurant by Hardy White. This restaurant is familiar. That's why I come here. I know most of what's on the menu. This restaurant makes more than my grandmother ever did. Her menu was limited. 9 items. But if you rotate that over several weeks, if you shuffle it around, then the permutations are infinite. This restaurant, too, it includes the permutations of its meals on the menu. It says that you can order anything here any way, creating near infinite combinations of dishes. So let's say you get a sandwich, a cheese sandwich. You can add anything to that cheese sandwich. And then you can add any fraction of anything. So you'd say, I would like 1/8 of the cheese with 1/2 of the lettuce and 1/32 of the mustard. And the person next to you said, I want that exact same thing, but with 1/8 of the mustard. And so in that way, the restaurant literally offers everything, because if the combinations are infinite, then it must include everything. So I'm going to order some peace. Not just inner peace, maybe peace for everyone, because what good is inner peace if someone is shooting at you? So I want peace for everyone, because if just I have one, then someone will try to steal it. It's like a magic helmet or gum or a nice car. So I'm just going to lay low here, order the regular cheese sandwich, and hope for the best. The Movie by Hardy White. I haven't seen this film, but I feel like I have because I'm in it. You'll notice that if you're in a movie, it almost feels like it's part of your life, because literally it is. But then when you watch it, it's not part of your life, because it's fiction. And then you begin to wonder, hey, if that's me on the screen, saying things that aren't true, and yet they were true, and I was really saying them, then what is my actual life? Maybe I am starring in something. Is it a made-for-TV movie? Do they even have those anymore? Is it a limited series? All series are limited because they don't know when they're going to be canceled. So this is a mini-series. No, it's a series that killed itself because it was afraid to die. Oh, this movie I'm in. It doesn't really have an ending because the producers are hopeful. They think there's going to be sequels, but I know better. Shane died. Shane dies at the end. My piano, a Hardy White. My friends and I were playing in a field that we always play in. But today, when we got there was a piano in it, a perfectly good piano. I think it was a spinet, and the only reason I know that is because my grandmother has a spinet. She says, that's not an upright, it's not a baby grand, it's not a grand, it's not a, I don't know if they have a Nebuchadnezzar Grande piano, but I'm sure they make them as big as the human imagination. This one was a spinet. And I don't know why somebody put it in the middle of our field. I guess they were trying to get rid of a piano, and you can't really sell them. People don't want used spinets too much. They don't even want new ones. And I guess disposing of them might be a step above disposing of an appliance or carpeting. Nobody wants old carpet. Nobody wants old mattresses. Nobody wants old people sometimes. Maybe this piano's an old person, and we're just not seeing it right. Maybe we're scared. Maybe there's a dead body in the field and none of us want to admit it and say, oh, that's just a piano. That's not an old person. And we walk away. But if it was an old person dead there, then we sure did a terrible thing that day because we sat on top of it and we played show tunes as if we were in an old saloon. I lay on the top and said, look at me. I am a showgirl. Play me some honky-tonk. And there was a fellow there that had been taking piano lessons. And so he played Fur-a-Lise, which isn't honky-tonk. But the way he played it, it seemed like it was. It seemed like we were all drunk because something strange had happened. When a piano appears in your field, you'll notice that you're going to start to act a little differently. You're going to live in a state of surprise. Excited. The Store by Hardy White. I found myself in a store, and it seemed as if it were my store, and so I treated all the customers like family. I stood there and greeted them when they came in, as if it were a church, and I asked them, what is it that you need? What is it that you want? I'll go even further. What is it that you dream about? Perhaps we can make that dream reality, or we can fulfill that desire, or we can help satisfy that need. We can take care of you. I would show them to the aisles. Everything was divided up like that. I said, you can get some products here, or you can get some products over here, and they're all different. And I would look in their eyes, and I would say, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to step away, and I'll let you look by yourself. I'll let you explore this whole world. Only you really know what you want, and maybe you don't want to tell me. I understand that. You might want to say, hey, I'm only browsing. I'm only here to look. I didn't come to buy anything. I don't know what my needs or desires are. That's exciting. That's exciting because this place may stimulate that. You may not know what you want. You may not even know what you dream about. But there, if you see it on the shelf, say, I see a little figurine, and it's a clown. It's an angry clown, but it's not threatening. It's angry because its fish got away or something like that. Something sort of sweet. Something that'll make my heart a little bit lighter. And I don't have to give a reason for liking it. I don't have to defend it. And nobody will see this little tiny clown that I take away from the store. No, they won't. And that way it is like a church. You can get your invisible, imaginary clown here that satisfies all of your desires. Takes care of your needs. Takes care of your wants. And it might even fulfill your dreams. Thanks for shopping. Come again, won't you? The Flight by Hardy White. This is not your captain speaking. This is the in-flight entertainment. You put on headphones, but it can't block out reality. I can try to keep you company, but I can't make the real world disappear. You're going to hear me, and you're going to hear other things, and you're going to hear your neighbors, and they're going to come together as a sort of symphony. And the theme is your journey. You're going somewhere. You bought a ticket somewhere. I'm not responsible for getting you there. That's a good thing. I'm responsible for making you forget that you're going there. You're just going to magically appear. If there really were a sort of Star Trek transportation device, in real life, it would be a mallet, and you'd hit someone over the head with it, and they would black out. Or maybe you gas them, and then they wake up on the planet's surface, and you say, "Yes, you beamed here." "Oh, I feel sort of funny." The beaming device does that to you. It'll give you a headache temporarily. They'll always believe that's how they got there. You'll have to have separate classes of people, though. Those who hit others on the head and those who use the transportation device. Otherwise, well, word will get out. And you don't want that to happen. A lot of this flight is faith, and a lot isn't. The airplane, if that's what we're on, is flying not because of your faith in it, but in spite of it. Somehow, things happen, whether you want them to or not. Whether you will them to or not. What you are seeing is a conflagration. Is that right? Well, I don't know. What you're seeing is a composite. Is that right? I don't know. Some sort of word, some sort of fire coming together. Is that what I meant to say? I know that what I am experiencing is a flight. I'm going somewhere, and you're going with me. And I'm helping you forget why you're going. No, you want to remember that. You'll remember it. It's okay to temporarily forget things. Do you know where your next boarding pass is? No, you don't have to. It's not something you'll have to start remembering for another hour, maybe. So right now, we'll just drift off together. And then you'll start to wonder, am I sitting with Hardy White, imagining that I'm on an airplane? Or am I in an airplane? Imagining I'm with Hardy White. Don't open your eyes, because the moment that you open your eyes, you will know the truth. It is your vision, not your literal vision. No, that means nothing. It's the vision in your heart. Where do you think we're going? I told you I'm with them right now. Yes. Yes, I'm broadcasting. Yes, I'm doing my own material. Why would I do yours? Look, I admit that I'm not the best at this, but I certainly am no thief. Well, listen, I'm not going to go back and forth with you like that, and maybe I have done bits of your act or things were inspired, but I'm doing an homage. I hear you. When I stole your wallet, was I doing an homage to... Oh, I don't know about this. I promised I would channel Shelley Berman. He's dead. And I offered to relay some messages to the living. And so I'm speaking with him right now. Like I said, these ghostly voices that tell me to do things Well, this one, I've got this one telling me to do things. And there's another fellow there who keeps yelling Cohen on the telephone. So I think it's probably the guy who did that is mad at Shelley Berman. But both voices in my head, I get very confused. And I only really have time to speak with you. So I'm banishing all, attention all ghosts. You can no longer use me as a conduit. I am not your talky tube like that. I don't remember whether I'm misremembering Love Boat, because the way I remember it, Captain Steubing has one of those tube communicators that goes, "This is your captain." And it's not a radio or an intercom. It's an actual clothes dryer exhaust tube or something, the kind they had on the old ships and the one, what's the World War before World War One? Do they have a name for it even? But that one. And people didn't, there was no radio. And so maybe that's why people don't remember the war. It's like, well, how would we have known about it? I don't know. That's a good question. No TV, no radio. Is it real? Did it really happen? Nobody alive who remembers the thing? Did it really happen? It's up for grabs. And even if there's somebody alive who remembers it, maybe it's not an uninterrupted line of memory like the white kid on Oprah. So, yeah, I remember the Civil War. I died in between, so it's not a direct connection, you know. So we could quibble about identity and all this ship of Theseus nonsense, but essentially I'm that same person, right? Right? And I think of that because I'm one of so many Hardy Whites in an uninterrupted line going back ages. Really, that's a technical term. If you study history, you go, an age? What? How many years in an age? You know all this. I used to have a mixing glass that would tell you, like, how many ages in an era, how many eras in a, you know, eon or something. All that. They would say, how exactly long is time in memoriam? Because that's a specific length that the government keeps track of. And they've got a, it's, I don't know if it's a rod or a pipe or a clock or a picture or a poem. I think in this case it's a poem. And that's how they keep track of space-time. Right now I'm getting a message for somebody named grandson or granny or good gran or boy or kid Timmy or it's all mushed together. It's probably not a message at all. I am motivated, like I said, by an understanding of what it's like to turn on the radio and to be alone in the world. I believe it was Schopenhauer who said, I got to think because this is, I'm not making up a joke, so I can't make it up, so I have to actually remember what Schopenhauer said. Something about being alone. Like, you can't really be free unless you're alone. Is that what he said? A person is not really free unless they're alone and they don't have other people like harshing on them or whatever for just for their hat or their opinion. And then they're free. So you're free. I say that. So you're alone and you're virtually alone when you're with me. So I can be sort of a guided loneliness. And it isn't meditation. I don't want you to not remember anything. I want you to like have your memories come on off in just crazy order. Not in an order that they usually fire off in. Make a new dance. Think of your memories as little synapses, you know, they're going off in little loops, right? You're making, and then let's fire them off just based on pattern. So instead of filling out a test where you go, like you're bubbling in a test, A, B, C, D, E, and everything, just make a Christmas tree on the bubble thing. I want to do that with your memories. So what we're going for is little pictures or patterns in your head that have nothing to do with whether the thoughts are connected in any way. And that's poetry. So I say, you know, what's the connection between a shrimp and a piano in a field? And I say the show, because I've mentioned both. They say, oh, you can do better than that. Okay. Is the shrimp playing the piano? No, I don't know. I'm walking by a piano, and there's a shrimp just sitting there. It's not even a restaurant. All right? Where is the piano? It's a church. And there's a shrimp. There must have been a party. Excuse me, I say church, it's temple. No, it's fraught. It's the American, kind of got an explanation for a shrimp on a piano. They just feel like they belong on them. I never really thought about it. But yeah, there's a shrimp, like a shrimp cocktail shrimp? Yeah. It was just sitting on a piano? Yeah. Well, it fell off somebody's plate. Somebody had some kind of party. Stuck by the piano. Okay, how about this? Aha! It was a prawn, live. It was a live prawn. Was it with its heads on? It was live. I just said it was live. Oh, it was a live prawn on a piano. On the keyboard or on the top? What kind of piano? It's a spinet. And it's on the top shelf where you would be, where you would sit if you were sitting on a spinet. But there's a prawn there. And what's it doing? It's okay. It's not distressed. Let's put it that way. I don't want to, it's not flopping out of water and distressed. So you're saying we could all be underwater. Is the piano underwater? Maybe the prawn's underwater. If you're looking at a prawn on a piano and that prawn seems at home and it's alive, you might be the one who's underwater. Hi, friends. I'm Hardy White. You might remember me from my 1970s television series, House of Carmat. Some places it was called House Full of Carmat, I think. I don't remember when it aired in this country. I played Matt. Now I would like you to take your house and flip it upside down. Reverse it. Reverse the mortgage. Reverse everything in it. Reverse the pipes. With the electricity, so that when you turn on the TV and there's a picture of Niagara Falls, actual water starts gushing out like that. And that's part of a reverse mortgage, but it's not everything. Will I lose my home? No. Will I get money? No. Is this ad? No. No. Who are you? No. No, no, no. Oh, your poor dog right now. Oh, your poor dog. It thinks I mean you're okay. Here, hold me down near the dog. You're all right. Who is good? Who is a good? Who is a sweet boo-boo-boo? Who is a ba-ba-ba-boo? You are. You go. Oh, who is my boy? I am so tired. I have my nose. I'm a so good nose. How's your dog doing? Is it doing all right? My dog's going crazy. My dog just exploded in joy. I highly doubt that I'd done that for you today. I've tried to make some noises, some friendly noises. I wanted you to feel like you had a companion, like I was on your side, like we were at the same boring party and we were both the dog that each other found. You know, you always go for, I'm going to go visit with the dog. And you're thinking the same thing, and we find one another. That's the feeling that I'm going for. So I hope it's warmed your heart so much it's warmed mine. It's warmed so much I'm going to get it checked out. Now I'm a little worried. And especially worried this time of year for the WFMU Hellraiser. Oh, what is that? That sounds scary. What do you cut with that? The Hellraiser is a weapon of great destructive force, /. It's not that kind of razor. It's razor like Occam's razor. And what's that? It goes like this. If you're going to have a freeform station, you got to pay the relation. So please, make a pledge for the Hardy White right now. And I would like that, and everybody would love that. And you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.5 in Rockland County in New York City, New York. And online, WFMU.org. I didn't have to go that fast. I just panicked, is all. So thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week. pledge that, you know, right now. Sam will get a premium, too, by the way. So go say, Hardy White's my favorite ever. And we'll give tens of thousands of dollars. Because why not? Free minds. Free minds ain't free. Well, hello. My name is Hardy White. And I'm here to speak with you. And I don't know if that's very obvious. I wanted to clear that up.
Remember when, last past November, when the Clown King got pounded in with the Timberland. They left him trembling, he was not remembering. Never touch a gentleman, just a frosted emblem. Some would debate, wait the fella ate gelatin, or even listening to what his weathermen was telling him. When I could feel it in my melanin, it's compelling us to break them off, no reassembling. No science fiction to no getting in you. Coming soon to up with you frequently, like how phases of the moon would do. You could gather around like it was an eclipse. Just don't look directly to the if you may be blinded by the scripts. Pass the L, the last to tell us an absurd tale. All hail, King Ghidra, the third rail. When 700 volts holds rap to a standstill. Fool, ignore the rule, hold up and get his man killed. To
blue bottle of dog got his hands filled. And so goes the days of our lives as the hourglass sand spilled. And Bill with passion and a glass of disaster.
And the lights went down.
And I knew it was the last day. Wig twisting season, where some could get their wig twisted back within reason. Mostly whiskey crimes of treason. And you'll be lucky if there's no squeezing, even this evening. From how it's feeling, grilling, choice of flow is sick. He's the villain with the $1 million voice throat trick. He's like a ventriloquist with his fist in the speaker back. Couldn't think of no unique attract, no sneak attack. It don't really matter how big them is, so much as a nipple. Cause you can have a chick with D triple, except the nipple, little. This hot off the griddle, like how he do monkey rhymes, like monkey in the middle by his damn self. Ain't no average MC ahead of me. Getting cheddar instead of the probably better pedigree. With nicknames, sick games as Rick James, messy games. Side fly such as Jesse James. Last I figure, ass hawking ass me the nigga. Last one to walk up in, fast talking city slicker. Got bad cause of the dirty chick with makeup. Bail out quick for the 7:30 wake up. My only backup was an A cup. As far as major when the leaves turn red and gold. So Nimrod Earth Day. All else worthless to say.
And the lights went down.
That's when I knew it was the first day. Wig twister season. Some could get their wig twisted back within reasoning. Mostly with the crimes of treason, men. And y'all be lucky if there's no squeezing even this evening. It's like a much sweeter, the much sweeter, resent the act. I've been bent back since my physical went back, since culture more of my kin. And for them, I keep an elbow in this hellhole. Hold your head, use your head and hold, or be dead and cold. In the worst way, soon as the leaves show red and gold. Till round Nimrod release day. And all else, needless to say. Wait a motherfucking minute, true facts presented. The names was probably changed just to protect who ain't in it. The XP was three-quarter tenant, four-fifth was converted. Where his whistles twisted, ask him if it hurt it. But some could get their wigs twisted back within reasoning. Mostly with the crimes of lying and fronting and cheating. All types of different styles of treason.